Well, today we begin the journey into Holy Week. We start traditionally with the procession of palms and the blessing of palms. Now, sadly, because of the coronavirus, those processions won't be taking place like normal. Most of us will probably be with our families at home, or some of us, especially the clergy, probably on their own. So the procession won't be taking place in the way that it normally does. But I'd just like to bring us into Holy Week with a couple of little themes that I think that are really important because of the way that Matthew presents Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. And it's that we celebrate today, and it is that which begins Holy Week. Now, firstly, you'll hear the word Passover mentioned several times. Most of us will remember that the Passover was when the Lord passed over the Israelites in Egypt when he killed the firstborn, both of man and animals, when the Egyptians kept the Hebrews as slaves. The Hebrews were ordered to take a newborn lamb, to take the blood of the lamb and put it on their doorposts. And the angel of the Lord passed over them. And from there they were able to make their escape, eventually to the promised land. So that event, Passover, is celebrated even today. Usually around this time, in Jesus' time, it was celebrated on the first full moon after the spring equinox. And the lamb was a newborn lamb, one of the first for the spring season. And it was sacrificed to ask God's blessing for a season of good lambs. It coincided, the feast did, with the harvest feast, where grain was taken and the Lord was asked to bless the people with a good crop of harvest, a good wheat crop primarily, wheat and barley. So these two feasts came together, and it was that which Jesus was going to celebrate in Jerusalem at the great temple, the Feast of Passover. And of course, there was no lamb mentioned in Matthew's gospel. The lamb, of course, is Jesus, and it is his blood that is going to be used as the blood of sacrifice. So the historical understanding of the event, when it took place, and the language that is used by Matthew is also very important. So the procession has been an important part of the Catholic tradition and in many religions as well. But as we start Holy Week, the procession starts with the blessing of palms. And as I said, sadly, we can't do that publicly this year. But as we look or reflect on the journey of our life, we have several processions that involve the church. The first is our procession to the baptismal font. The second might be our walk down the aisle, the procession down the aisle to get married. The third might be a procession quite often in a church for graduation. And another procession would be that when we come to someone's funeral. Now, in each occasion, we enter the church and we leave the church a different person than who we were when we came in. We leave as a baptized child of God, a son or daughter of God. We leave the church at marriage as a husband or a wife. We leave the church after graduation having completed that phase of our life and beginning really or normally an adult life of continued learning and teaching. And then at the funeral, of course, we leave to our place of burial, awaiting our final resurrection. Matthew's account of the Passion is very tough on the Jewish leaders, if you read it carefully. And so when he recalls the Passion or Jesus' procession, it's not meant for us to be an historical pageant. It's supposed to cross our lives in some way. So this journey into Jerusalem for Jesus, we are supposed to try to align our lives some way or other with why Jesus was coming in and what his actions we're going to celebrate at this time of Passover, this time of Easter for us. Matthew's entire gospel has been preparing people for the Passion. Matthew shows that even though the Jews had the new Moses in front of them, they were not able to recognize him because Jesus didn't fit their expectations of who the Messiah was. The crowd in Jerusalem receives Jesus like a pop star, acclaiming him as one of their own, almost as though they bred him and made him who he was. But by week's end, the chief priests and the elders had manipulated the crowd's enthusiasm so much to force Pilate to execute Jesus. And through it all, during the craziness of the crowd and their behaviour, they changed their allegiance from Jesus to a thief, Barabbas. And then at his trial, that is Jesus' trial, in Matthew's gospel, Jesus hardly says a word. Jesus' silence is deafening. So in the journey of faith that we should always be on our guard against being part of a manipulated crowd, that would be my point during these days of silence in this virus. Avoid being part of a manipulated crowd. We can't even be part of any crowd at the moment. The unchecked enthusiasm of a crowd can carry us away to places and to people or to things that we would not ordinarily choose or should not embrace in our life. Crowds pull us along, and they can sometimes make us make decisions that we would be much better off not making, especially if we're vulnerable. We can easily be whipped up into a frenzy of fear or a heightened anxiety. And there is a sense of that at times with the constant reporting of crowds and crowd numbers through the virus at the moment. So look at the journey of this time and what was going through the crowd with Jesus as he entered Jerusalem. We only have to look at the power of the media and advertising to see how susceptible we are to becoming a slave of current ideologies, even things like dress codes and what and who is important in society. Every time we buy something because someone else has it, or because we've convinced ourselves that our wants are really our needs, I reckon that's a sign that the crowd has won us over. The crowd has led us on. We've lost our individuality. The story of Palm Sunday or Passion Sunday is that manipulation of a crowd, even by legitimate authorities. It can be the beginning of a spiritual death. Hype often distorts priorities. It blurs good judgment and can choose expediency over integrity. So what's the remedy, do you reckon, to being manipulated, to regaining a sense of what really matters, to standing up against the crowd for the values that we know are right? Jesus, he shows us in Matthew's gospel, and it starts with silence. And we all know about that at the moment. It's being, in Matthew's gospel and teaching us now, it's being a contemplative in a manic world and praying for the courage to dissent from the crowd's hyped up madness. As we process into Holy Week, even in these strange days, the annual rite of passage for our faith, may we model our lives on Jesus in every way by creating the silence we need in our lives to sort out our priorities, by using silence powerfully in a world that loves words but has very little to say about our meaning and destiny, and allowing our sacrificial love, even to the point of death, to do all the talking. As our earth recovers in these days, as our planet recovers, and people suffer, perhaps the hyped crowd that we're hearing through the media at the moment is a warning to us that this is the time. This is the time to take silence that has been enforced upon us, to thank God for the recovery of the world, the planet, and to teach us to love and to support each other in our individuality and in our collective silence. May God bless you this Easter week. Keep yourself safe, keep yourself close to each other, and keep yourself close to the Lord. Amen.